from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
With much fanfare and jubilation, my friends, the Rob Brown Show returns to the radio. Real. In fact, not just real good. You could argue maybe the best. Maybe we're doing the best. I don't know. I can't say for sure. All right. What I can say is good morning for the twice awarded and now thrice nominated best sports talk show in the state. The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. Happy Monday, my dudes, my dudettes. It is wonderful to have you all here with us one more time again. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one, Lonzo. We have once again been nominated for best sports talk show in the state. Not just nominated, we're going to Columbia again, because we're picking up, at the very least, the silver. At the very least, the silver.
It's the smaller crystal, but it's still crystal.
It's crystal nonetheless. Is it, if we end up in second, is it what Zoe and I want? Absolutely not.
No.
Is it what Zoe and I deserve? That's up for the people to decide. Okay, what I can tell you is that there will be yet another steamy night in Columbia, South Carolina, where the cast and crew of the Rob Brown radio program will be live, as Rob and Lonzo have been once again nominated for Best Sports Talk Radio Show. Not just that, but we have been nominated for a show record. I don't know if it's a station record, Lonzo. You would know better than I. But a show record, 3 South Carolina Broadcasters Association's Star Awards this year.
For a show on the station. Yes,
that's a record.
Well, 2 is a record.
2 is the record.
Yes.
So we have
smashed
beat
that
our own record with 3 nominations for this radio program this year. We'll see how it goes. All right. I would say sincerely, I wish everyone else in Columbia the best of luck. We will shake hands and high five and dap and fist pump appropriately with whoever wins or does not throughout the evening. This is one of those times that my humility will kick in, and I will simply say, I'm just honored to be here.
Dude, I already admitted this Saturday, I cried a little because of the morning show thing. I spent 14 years on a show where we beat other shows in the ratings. We're number one a couple times, which was amazing because we were just on AM and we were still getting number one. The Star Awards, if you look at them from a history standpoint, not really that old. So when I first started working here in this building 24 years ago, there were no Star Awards. So I just like the morning show thing got me. I'm not saying the sports show thing is a given because it's not.
It's not.
It's not. But the morning show thing was like, that's right.
One
that's,
of the,
wait. We are a morning show.
One of the three that we were nominated for. We were nominated for three this year. We were nominated for Best Sports Talk Show in the State. We were nominated. I was nominated for Sportscaster of the Year.
You keep saying we. I mean, you were nominated for one separately, which is
yeah.
Great.
But I wouldn't even be in that position if it wasn't for the show.
I am also up for another one on
correct.
WRD. So.
Both of us up for three.
Three apiece, yeah.
Collectively up for four if we lean on each other here because Lonzo makes my job possible.
Still be collectively three.
No.
Yeah.
You got one for over there. I got one for Sportscaster. We throw those both in the pot. That's four. Two
okay.
together,
you're
each
right.
one
you're
separately.
Right. 65% and then,
you add me, you got a 33 and a 3rd percent chance.
Yeah.
So we got the nomination this year for Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. Yes, by the way, my oblique is fine. I'm patting myself and ourselves collectively on the back, right out of the gate. Thank you very much. Nominated for Best Sports Talk Radio Show.
I have interns for that. I don't really.
Tim, come in here and pat me on the back.
He'll give you a hard slap to the back.
Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year, Sports Broadcaster of the Year, which I am, this may shock you, up against Chris Miller. Shout out to my guy, Chris, because he was the one that tagged me in the congratulatory See You in Columbia tweet.
It was a nice post.
He's a good dude, man. He's such a good guy. The Tom Brady of South Carolina local sports radio.
I think he's more like Goldberg.
Oh, that's actually better. That's actually better.
It fits the show better.
And then Lonzo and I, somehow, and this is the one that, yes, I sent Zoe a separate text about this one, somehow placed into the finalist position for best morning personality / team. And that is not a sports category. That's an open to, and not only is it not only.
Everybody.
It is not just not. A sports category. It is also not a radio category. It is an anybody in the media that does a morning show can be nominated for and in on this. And Zoe and I were named finalists for best morning show personality / team in the AM.
So I was doing show prep Saturday morning. I was FaceTiming with my son when you texted me the first one. So I brought up the awards. I'm looking. And you texted me the second one. And he's like. Are you all right? Like, no, this is okay. And it was like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, that one was unexpected, to be honest. Like, I'm happy. We've been in the, this is the fourth year of the 4 years that I have been here. Three award season years. I've been here three award season years. This will be the fourth. In the three award season years I've been here, Zoe and I have been twice nominated, twice won. Thrice nominated, twice won. We missed the finals 1 year, which was why the red sparkly jacket got hung in the window for a year. Thrice nominated, twice won, and trying to go 3 out of 4 this year. We'll let you know how it goes, all right? I'm just going to let you know that award ceremony is in Columbia in August. Early August, right out of the gate.
A little surprising, but good.
Yep. Early August, and I will go ahead and tell you that once Zoe and I win, we are, as the Boston Celtics did, we're going to fly down to Miami, spend a couple of nights in the clubs in Miami, and then we will come back and have the victory parade 2 days later.
I'm going to have to buy new shoes. I don't know if I got club shoes.
We'll get you some alligator cowboy boots to rock down in Miami. Got to set you up.
Wait.
Set you up good.
You didn't say it was a country bar.
It's not. Okay. That's just a vibe.
Okay.
We got to vibe you out. Here's my favorite part, all right? Forget the awards. Nobody cares about the trophies. Nobody cares about the trophies.
Okay.
What you all right, want to know.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Okay.
What you all want to know, of course, is what is the theme for this year's award night celebration? Last year, of course, it was Western. So Zoe and I went as cowboys. My cowboy, just a slight bit more flamboyant than the great ones. The first year that we went, it was... I'm not going to lie. I don't even remember what the theme was. I actually don't think I knew that there was one. I just went with an outrageous jacket that year.
Well, here's the thing. We missed the theme that year. And we really missed the theme because it was the sea or something. So because some people
That's right.
Some people showed up as pirates and we could have rocked the pirate thing.
Could have. So, would have. Capital W would have.
Yeah, so disappointed.
With a sword and everything.
I have. That was the only year I've been there that I didn't go with the theme, and I've been there quite a few times, and I want to stand out, which is weird for me. I know. It's weird. But.
Yes, there's nothing Lonzo likes less than standing out.
Yeah, but this is standing out amongst your peers.
This year, the theme is, and it could not be better for this show.
No, for you.
For our show. This year's theme is Garden Party. Garden Party. I repeat a third time. Garden party.
To a garden party.
And I will tell you that Rob Brown has already narrowed his selection down to three separate floral patterns. One of them, wildflowers over baby blue. Another, ferns and indoor plants over a hot pink. And the third, a 1970s retro floral pattern. My question is, can I talk Lonzo into wearing a matching suit with me? That's gonna be the question. Can I get him to rock a matching hot pink floral suit with me because we're going big?
Here's the problem. It really comes down to money. It really does. Because if I buy a hot floral pink whatever, I'm probably wearing it once, and, you know, I don't have wear-it-once kind of money.
I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm probably willing to buy that for you if you'll wear it. Even if you're willing to wear it once, I'm probably willing to buy it for you.
You have no idea how much more it costs for someone of my size. there's extra material costs in there, and they pump up the price.
I
think we could find something comparable, not necessarily matching, but we'll see.
I am... Jokes aside, very appreciative of the efforts of the great one who did all of the work to put together our submission to get us into the mix again. I am exceptionally grateful to Mark Hendricks and Steve Sinacropi and the folks that run the building for being willing to even submit us into the competition again.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. You feel like, yeah, you're plugging along. You think you're doing a pretty good job, and... you don't know if you're being noticed. I think that's part of it. And now we're going to be recognized
again
from the entire state.
Yep.
And as I pointed out to Bill Frady when I told him he was nominated, we are now going to also be in the annals of the SCBA once again.
That could have gone sideways.
We had that conversation.
That could have gone sideways.
Yeah. You want to be in the annals as much as you possibly can.
So, all that being said, thank you to, thank you to the great one for the work that goes into putting our submission in, because that's a process that is not like sit at the desk and knock it out over a cup of coffee. Like, that is some damn work that Lonzo put in. A, B, to Hendricks, to Sinacropi, to everybody that wear the suits around here, metaphorically speaking, for being willing to even include us in the discussion there, and I mean this, most importantly, to you guys that keep listening and tweeting and texting and calling and participating in the show, because if you did not do that, we would not have a show to be nominated for Best Sports Talk Radio Show in the state of South Carolina. So I am very appreciative to those of y'all that continue to hang out, plug along every single morning with us here on the Fan Upstate, because, again, if you didn't, I'd be working at like a bank or something right now, and I don't want to do that.
Because you have done that, and you really enjoyed your
time. It was miserable.
I am. I'm actually taking my daughter for the first time this year, and she has never seen me nervous like I am before this. It's hard to describe because, I mean, you know, you're honored to be there. That is not a lie. You're honored to be there, but still, you want to win.
For sure.
And so you're the anticipation waiting because they call the merit award first. And you don't want that to be your name.
Nope.
And if it is, you're still grateful, but
sure.
you want to win, especially us. I mean, we're on a sports show. It's competition. It absolutely is. And you want to be the best.
I go to...
you know it's me. I'm all about the trophies.
I go to pick up hardware. Listen, if we go if we go 3 for 3 merit, that means we brought home a collection of silver medals. Is it what you want? No. But you are on the world stage at that point, right? You're on the world stage. You are competing against the best of the best. And the recognition that you can't be the best every year is a reality. It does not mean we're not going over there looking to collect the big hardware. All right. We won the Astro Crag. We don't want your silver medal. All right.
I don't know what the heck an Astro Crag is, but
Nickelodeon
I want it
Guts.
Too.
Remember Nickelodeon Guts? Mike O'Malley.
I'm a little bit older, so.
It was on when I was a kid.
Right.
Texas said, Rob, are y'all going to celebrate with a glizzy? Eric, you're damn right, Eric.
Really, Eric?
You're damn right.
Really?
Celebratory glizzies for the boys.
Maybe you need to walk across the stage with one of those.
If they got glizzies up in that bad boy.
They have those fancy hors d'oeuvres.
I'll tell you my fear.
They might have some. Do they have minis? I don't know. I can't remember.
My fear is that they are going to, because I love a garden party. Okay, I do.
I've never been to one.
Here's what I'm going to tell you I'm looking forward to. The drinks at this event are going to be immaculate. We're going to have florals. We're going to have gins. All right? It's going to be an immaculate open bar. What I fear
is... He's not going to partake in any of it, though.
No, I'll be good by then. Okay. I'll be good by then.
Okay.
the open bar is going to be just chef's kiss. I'm worried about the food in that spot a little bit. Garden party food is usually like cucumbers with like...
I will tell you this.
Something on them.
And I'm pretty confident in this. The food has been the same every year no matter what the thing.
Okay. Well.
So I think you're good. I don't think... I mean, there might be some little extras here and there, but I think the main meat of it, if you will be kind of the same stuff that they've had every year. Because I believe it's catered by the hotel itself. I believe so, and that's, you know, out of their kitchen, and that's the kind of stuff they make, which is good stuff, by the way. It's not bad, but it's what they call heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Because
if you eat too many of them, you get heavy.
So, nominated for 3 this year. That is a show on the station record number of nominations in any given year.
It's a station record, too. It is.
We'll take it. We'll take it. So we'll see y'all in Columbia coming up in August. I genuinely look forward to that. All right. We got a day lined up for you today. We got to get into some golf. Scottie Scheffler is back in the W column after the Travelers Championship. An electric playoff with Tom Kite. NASCAR rain-shortened run in New Hampshire. We'll talk about that race
that
a little
was
bit.
For the powder that was thrown up.
Oh, this is clowns. Talk about that, I guess. We got to talk some NFL football as the awards markets are jumping around like crazy. What does that tell us about the season? A reporter claims that another SEC coach told him, of course, no names attached, that the South Carolina football program is, and I quote, dead in the water.
Sources.
Hashtag sources. We'll address that. We got to get some Clemson ball in here. We'll hear some comments from Tom Brady. A very emotional story from Mr. October himself coming up later in the show. It is going to be a busy, busy, busy day. Jump on board. Let's have some fun. Rob Lonzo and you, a 3-time nominated Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year, The Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great man Lonzo with you. Great to be here. Appreciate y'all joining us in the AM portion of the day. United States with a 2-0 win yesterday to open up Copa America. Got the dub over Bolivia last night, and glad that we did. Still have not done the one thing I would very much like us to do, which is find a true striker. I think you're still relying too much on Pulisic, but Pulisic did have a banger of a goal 3 minutes into that contest. Took the ball over on the left-hand side, crossed it back into the 18-yard box, working left to right, and then got a right-footed shot off that crossed across the face of goal. Believing keeper did get a fingertip on it, but not enough to elevate it over the bar, and Pulisic put us on the tally sheet. You would get a second one later on in the contest on a left-to-right from Balogun. That would make it 2-0. The Americans had a bunch of opportunities in the second half, including one off the foot of Ricardo Pepi that the goalkeeper got a hand onto. Pepi was making a run in the direction, but it came back at him so quickly he could not get on the end of it. It could have been 5-0. It could have been 1-0. It could have been a 0-0 draw. Either way, it was a 3-point victory, and the Americans jump out to the top of the table in Group A with that win, which is, again, it's what you're looking for. It's got to be where you go in there and you get the points against the teams that you've got to get the points about. That has to be what it is. They also go to the top with a +2 goal differential, now square with Uruguay, both teams with 3 points, both teams with a +2 differential. Panama and Bolivia will sit tied for second in the 4-team table out of Group C with 0 points and a -2 differential. Good start. It's what you wanted. Was it the best game we could have played? Absolutely not. Was it the worst match we could have played? Far from it. There were some spots that are going to have to be cleaned up in this tournament. Passing out of the back has got to get better. It is, we put ourselves under fire from an outmanned Bolivian team too many times. Poor passing, just mid-passing out of the back, and that very mid-passing out of the back created a couple of spots where Bolivia was able to take possession and then threaten with numbers. Fortunately, the back line of the defense was about as good as we could have asked it to have been, with the exception of the passing out of the backfield. But the front was fine, created a ton of opportunities. Like I said, that match could have ended up 5-0. There were plenty more scoring chances. Bolivian keeper made three or four world-class, world-quality saves overall that I think ended up keeping them in the mix longer than we would have liked. So, again, on one hand, good win. You'll take the 3 points every time. You'll take the plus two every time. And on top of that, you kept the goal differential level with Uruguay. And that's huge. It is big because today will be opening day for Group D. In Group D are Brazil, Colombia, Paraguay, and Costa Rica. You're not super worried about Costa Rica. The other three teams, Paraguay not as much. Brazil and Colombia certainly a pair of very good international teams. The winner of Group C gets the runner-up in Group D. Likely going to be Colombia. And I would rather get Colombia. I will take every opportunity for Brazil to get knocked out before we have to face them. I don't want to have to face Brazil until we have to face Brazil. So it's a pretty good start. You got to be pretty happy with what you saw yesterday out of the Americans. Again, a couple of things that can be cleaned up. Passing out of the back, the buildup has got to be better. I think we need more quality finishing. But again, that was my problem coming into this tournament. That's what I talked about last week on the show. If you don't find a nine, if you don't find that guy that is your finisher, that is going to be there, that is going to be able to create shots on goal, create deflections, be there for the follow-up when the ball, because there were probably 3 to 5 deflections last night. Probably 3 to 5 deflections last night that coulda, shoulda, woulda been goals. Pepe had one, I know. I think Pulisic had one that he spiked into the mitt of the keeper. There was another one, and I can't remember. It may have been Timothy Weah that had a shot from way out left that came off the rebound and across that he spiked into the ground, which is the right play when you have a high floating ball and the keeper is between you and the strings. The play is spike it into the ground and try to create some spin so that the keeper can't get a read on it. But unfortunately, he gronk spiked it into the turf, so it bounced up over the bar. However you want to look at it, you're on top of the group after one. You got the full three over Bolivia. You get Panama on Thursday. That's the other spot. You've got to win. And then basically, group winner is going to come down, assuming you get the win over Panama. Group winner is going to come down to the U.S. and Uruguay early next week. So it's a good start. It's a great start to the tournament. You got your 3 points. You got what you needed out of that particular contest. You are set up at the top of the table, and now you wait. Now you go out there, you finish business against Panama. You put a handful of balls into the back of the net against Panama. You keep that goal differential in the positive, preferably by a lot, and take that 3 points, get yourself 6, under the assumption that Uruguay is going to take probably a similar result when they play Bolivia on, what is it, Thursday? When they play Bolivia on Thursday, and then set yourself up to give yourself a chance to go win this thing coming up on early next week, on the final match day against Uruguay on the group stage. And then, like I said, what you hope, if that is the case, what you hope is that Brazil knocks off Colombia, that Brazil wins Group D, Colombia checks in second, you win Group C, you get Colombia. I feel a lot more confident about a win over Colombia than I would making sure you get by Brazil. Now, just like any other situation, any other tournament, I would also make the point that I'll take a PK opportunity against a world powerhouse like Brazil. I'll take a PK opportunity against a powerhouse like Brasilia, because in a PK situation, just about anybody can beat just about anybody. We have tested Brazilian goalkeeping before. We took them to a 1-1 draw in D.C. a week and a half ago. It was a phenomenal result. It was the result you needed in that spot to make sure that you have built up the momo headed into this tourney. You did that. You brought that momentum into this tournament, and now you've given yourself a good opportunity to go win this group after one. Trey on the live stream says Bolivia's goalkeeper was working hard last night. Yeah, he was under assault, which is, again, it's what you want. And he was up to the task last night. Honestly, the fact that it was a 2-0 scoreline and not 4 or 5-0 is pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. The Bolivian back line and the Bolivian keeper specifically were very, very good in this contest. Very good in this contest. I don't think you are going to see quite as many quality performances out of a keeper like you did last night. But I would also make the point that performance last night was good enough for a draw. It was good enough for a draw against Brazil. Probably good enough to beat Colombia, good enough for a draw against Brazil. It was not good enough to beat Argentina. It was good enough for a draw with Chile. It was good enough for probably a win over anybody in Group B, which is Venezuela, Mexico, Ecuador, and Jamaica. It's not good enough for a guarantee over Uruguay. It's a draw level expert, draw level finish. What I will say in this spot is this: Greg Berhalter did what I wanted this team to do last night. Greg Berhalter kept the press on. Greg Berhalter did not see us go up a goal or go up two goals and then park the bus. He did not say, everybody come back. Everybody build the shell around the goal. Let's all play backline defense and we'll spray and pray counters, right? Like, that's been a big problem in games like this over the years, has been you get a goal lead, you get a two-goal lead. Berhalter calls everybody back to the box. You end up playing a kind of a park the bus strategy. Don't allow them to have anything that's not a shot from distance, not a crack from distance. And then anytime we end up with possession, we're going to send a winger on both sides. We're just going to kick it down there, and we're going to hope our athletes out-athlete their athletes. Last night, we didn't do that. Last night, we didn't do that. Last night, once we got a lead, in fact, if anything, we turned up the press. And that's what I want. I trust the back line until they melt down. And they have not melted down the last two games. They melted down against Colombia in the 5-1-L, the worst of the Berhalter era. And again, that's that same Colombian team we might see again in the beginning of the knockout round. But the back line melted in that game, and they have been good since then. And as long as they're going to continue to be good, then keep the press. Keep the high press. Keep everybody pushing forward. Keep everybody on the front foot. In hockey, we call it the forecheck. Keep everybody playing ahead. Keep everybody playing forward. And let's let our best athletes go out-athlete their best athletes. We did it yesterday. Please do it again on Thursday night when we take on Panama. All right, footy, soccer. Copa America. Good win. Good win. 3-0 plus 2 in the goal differential. It's maybe not the start you wanted, but it's a momentum-building start, and at this point, it's what we needed. All right. We got a lot more of that. We're going to talk later on in the radio broadcast. We've got to get into the NHL Stanley Cup Finals Game 7. How many times have I told you? There is nothing better on planet Earth than an NHL Stanley Cup Game 7. And if that wasn't enough, the College World Series is going Game 3 tonight at the same time. We got two elimination games tonight with championships on the line. We'll break them all down on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. hey, would you look at that? It's off season, and you know, off season is prime hashtag sources season. It is a point in time where radio show hosts and bloggers and sports writers nationwide make up stories and then say they got it from hashtag sources. Now, that's not to say that every journalist who says sources is lying. In fact, very frequently they're not.
Yeah, some sources might be real. I mean, are real.
As a former member of the, let's say, journalistic side of the media, specifically as one who covered local news as a television news reporter. Good evening and welcome to the Channel 3 10 o'clock news. I'm Rob Brown.
Did you ever have to cover hurricanes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so yeah. You were Jim Cantore, were you? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Stood on the beach. Now, we never, when I was there, because I was only there 2 years as a TV reporter, never got a, like, full-fledged, yo, this hurricane. But the had a couple of tropical storms. I think one Cat 1, and they're like, "Hey Rob, why don't you and Daniel was my cameraman for a couple of years? Why don't you and Dan pop in the Subaru Forester that served as the news wagon, take it on down to the beach and get us some live shots?" And the answer would be, "Because it's hurricaning outside, boss."
So did you get any sideways rain and debris?
No, like ordinarily they would, one of the things that you will see, and this is not true of everybody, but for most of the time with the local news, because especially with a place like where I'm from, Pensacola, we're catching a cane a year, right? Like we're catching a cane a year. We know the spots that are the least dangerous to go shoot lives from, and we'll just keep going back. So there was one spot on Okaloosa Island, which is where it's a long stretch of road between Destin and Fort Walton Beach. I grew up in Fort Walton Beach. Destin, obviously, is the area most of you guys would know about. Okaloosa Island is a long highway that runs on a barrier island between those two, and there's nothing on it. It's road, and then it's sand, and then it's water on both sides. There's nothing there. So we would go do our lives there because the likelihood of something flying up out of the ground and, you know, clobbering you in the dome was very low. But, yeah, they sent us out. The worst one of the TV news career was we had a freezing rain event one winter. It was like 23, 22 degrees outside. And you may not know this about Rob Brown. I despise the cold. Despise the cold. Okay? Despise. I hate cold. I hate cold.
I bet I hate it more than you do, but still, it's one thing that we actually have in common.
Hate the cold. And so we had a freezing rain event overnight. I was working the afternoon or the night shift, which meant that I was in the studio at 5 in the afternoon, and I was there until 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning until the morning shift reporter would come in. And if anything broke overnight, it was my job to go cover it, which was nice because very rarely did anything break that I had to leave the studio for. But when it did, you were in it. So they sent me out to the corner of Highway 98 and in the freezing rain to do live shots, which means that over the course of the 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news, 7 o'clock news, and 10 o'clock news, I had to sit on the corner in a Subaru Forester with nary but my cell phone to entertain me. And whenever the anchors would go, "Yeah, let's go back out to Rob," Dan and I had to get out of the car, go stand in the freezing rain, and give a live shot. It was so cold that night when we finished our last shot. We went back to the studio, and the studio was like a mini apartment for us. You kind of lived out of it overnight when you were working night shift. So we all had changes of clothes, and we all had food, and we all had bottles of water. Like if anything went down, we could bunk out of the news studio for a couple of days. It was a satellite branch. So we went back, and I was going to change out of my jeans that I had been reporting in into a fresh pair of jeans. And it was so cold that even with the car ride back, by the time I got back, to take the jeans off, I didn't like pull them off. I had to push them off because they were frozen solid. I could take said jeans, great one, lean them against the wall and stand them up, and they would stand up as if a ghost was wearing them because they were frozen solid. That was the night. I think I had like 2.5 weeks left on my contract. That was the night that I went, nah, I'll go back to radio. I'm going back to radio.
Yeah, that was a normal thing for me the first half of my life. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about that anymore.
I'd move.
I did.
I would throw everything I own into a knapsack that I carry on the end of a stick, and I would walk the railroads to the south if that was a reality I had to deal with. All right, sports. Sources, that's where we started this left-hand turn of a segment. What are you going to do? South Carolina entering their fourth year with Shane Beamer as the head coach last year, 5-7 a little bit. I think it's fair to say it was a bit of a deflating season after the excitement of the 2022 final with the wins over Tennessee and Clemson, right? And you turn around last year, it feels like you give it all back. Well, Griffin McVay, who writes for On3 Sports.
No, that's not his name.
That's his name. Okay. Griffin McVay.
That's a really cool name. I mean,
that's a good name. It's a baseball name.
Congrats, Griffin.
Griffin McVay said in an article on On3 Sports that, quote, one opposing coach even believes South Carolina is, quote, dead in the water with Shane Beamer. The coach claims Beamer was never ready to be the head coach after being hired from Oklahoma as the assistant head coach and tight ends coach. The coach said, quote, I think Shane Beamer is on the hot seat. He had some issues with the portal and NIL. I don't think Cocky is very happy right now. Apparently, according to Griffin McVay, Cocky is what the SEC coaches have nicknamed Shane Beamer. Shane Beamer's first head coaching job was at South Carolina. Beamer wasn't ready for that. You can tell by the way he handles his press conferences. He's had a few big wins, yes, but I see that program dead in the water, end quote. I find a couple of things interesting about this. So interesting, in fact, that I said I had to say I find it interesting four times in a row right there. Number one, he said in there that, quote, he's had some issues with the portal and NIL. Now, I have a little bit of contact with the Garnet Trust. Not as much as a lot of folks do. I should probably work on that. Stream of consciousness of radio here. But from what I can tell, it's fine. It's fine. It's good. It's on par with other collectives around the country.
I'm excited to see what Lenore Sellers can do. And I mean, I'm excited about the team this year.
The other thing he mentioned is that he had problems with the portal. South Carolina has more than 20 incoming transfer portal players this year. Now, that's not to say that every one of them is super highly touted, that every one of them had to pick between Georgia and South Carolina. There are a lot of folks that are good enough to be above D2 ball, but not necessarily getting a billion offers from Michigan and Georgia and Alabama, etc. But you got 20 plus coming in. I have a problem saying that this program is dead in the water. What I do not have a problem saying here, however, what I do not have a problem saying is that I do think it is a prove-it year for Shane Beamer, and I don't think that it is going against the grain. I do not think that you are a bad Gamecock if you say the same. I do not think that you are a bad Gamecock fan if you say the same, if you say, I'm looking for more, it is not a bad thing to say, I am looking for something else. I am looking for stability. I am looking for reliability. I am looking for consistency. We have talked about the fact that, believe it or not, some people won't go for this. Alonzo's one of them. South Carolina has, on paper and statistically, one of the most difficult schedules in college football this year. And considering the SEC for now.
And next year. And the year after that. And the year after that. And the year till eternity.
Lonzo, whose schedule is more difficult? A team playing out of the NFC South this year or a team that is playing out of the AFC North this year?
You know who else has a really difficult schedule?
You'll notice he wouldn't pick a side.
Vanderbilt. You know who else has a really, really hard schedule? Tennessee. You know who else has a really hard schedule? Every SEC team. Mm-hmm.
And every one of those teams between the NFC South and the AFC North all play in the NFL. Who's got the tougher schedule division to division? The AFC North does. It's not a question mark. It's a statement.
You are singling South Carolina out and making it sound like they have a harder schedule than anybody else in the SEC.
Did I or did I say they have one of the hardest? Not the hardest. Not no one else has it.
I don't know. I only listen to every other word you say.
That checks out. Most people do. It's probably the right way to handle your business with me. I understand entirely. But the point is they have one of the most difficult schedules in college football, and it is important. And because of the fact that we have done away with divisions, and because of the fact that the SEC has decided that they are going to go with some of the teams some year, repeat it the next year, the other teams the year after that, repeat it the next year, it is also going to be one of the most difficult schedules in the country next year as well, unless stuff goes haywire. And then maybe you'll get a little bit of respite in 2026. But if there is not consistency, if there is not reliability within this team this year, Shano might not be there in 2026 when the schedule hopefully throttles down a little bit.
What are the expectations for South Carolina?
I have asked Gamecock fans that repeatedly this offseason, and very few of them have had the courage to tell me.
What do you believe the expectations of the people in charge of someone's job are?
Bowl eligibility.
There you
bowl
go.
Bowl 6-6.
I mean,
now, here's the problem. It's been that way for three seasons so far, right? At some point, the expectations have to elevate above 6-6. At some point, making the Pinstripe Bowl ain't going to get it.
Agreed, but I think historically, that's what it's been. There have been, at least in recent memory, Spurrier is like the only guy who had them relevant in a way where winning the East was a possibility and competing for the SEC championship.
Correct. But you don't hire a guy to match history. You hire a guy to make history, right? And I don't care what the job is.
That's absolutely right. But much like Brad Brownell in Clemson, you know what the normal is, and it seems like people are okay with the normal. I don't know why he's on the hot seat.
He's on the hot seat because he went 5-7.
I mean, that's not good.
He's on the hot seat in his third year, right?
It's not good.
Now, and let's add one more caveat to the discussion. I've brought this up before.
So if he had won one more last year and been bowl eligible, he wouldn't be on the hot seat.
I don't know that that is true or not. I don't know.
You just said that you believe that bowl eligibility is.
This year, coming off a 5-7 team, I think
it would have been the same last year, too, right?
Correct. It would have been the same record, but it also would have been the same record as a lot of other teams that are not happy with that position. And again, going into year four, right? Because in the before days, in the yesteryears, when you looked at a team, Snoop's first pitch. We got to see Snoop's first pitch. Tell me it's at least. Hey, I'll take it. It's over the dish.
Yeah, that was a toss. It was not a throw.
50 Cent put it 90 feet to the left. Because he threw a strike over first base. That's a good first pitch.
Would you rather see someone like they're tossing a ball with their kid, or someone trying to bring the heat?
I would rather see someone get it over the dish than launch it nine rows into the stands.
When you threw out the first pitch, if you threw a pitch like that, I'm leaving. I mean, I'm not hanging around for anything. I'm leaving because I'm
right. But I'm a baseball player. I'm not a 56-year-old rapper who never played baseball.
Yeah, but he's
built, he got it over the dish.
He's built like a guy. Who
you
can
and
play
I
it.
Have seen some tremendously awful first pitches as of late. All right, back to the thought because we're right up on the break. The thought for me with Shane Beamer in the yesteryears when a new coach would come in. The traditional thinking was you give the guy three seasons. You give him three seasons. That is long enough to filter out the majority of the last guy's team, the majority of the last guy's recruits, the majority of the last guy's selections. and get in your own guys, that is enough time to put your system of recruiting, your offensive and defensive schemes, to allow your assistant coaching selections to familiarize themselves, to build a culture. You got three, and after three, if you're 5-7, you're gone. You're done, you're cooked, unless that school just accepts mediocrity. And I do not think that South Carolina fans are in a position where they want to just sit back and go, well, at least we've got women's basketball, right? You want to be good. Here's the thing. I don't think that three-year rule applies anymore. And I've said this in the past. I've said it about Deion Sanders. Deion did not get a grace period for me at Colorado. I expected results out of the gate. Why? Because Deion sent 31 guys out and brought 30-plus guys in. That's your team now. It is not a situation where I'm going to give you 3 or 4 years to cycle out a class full of recruits. It is now, especially if you do it like Deion. Shane's got 20-plus transfer portal players coming in. It's your team. It's your roster. I expect success and results. And my question is, I've asked it before. I've gotten very few answers. And I've asked both Clemson and South Carolina fans, what is your definition of success, so that we can put it on a marker and circle back at the end of the season? And I have gotten very little feedback. You say the word glizzy on the air, the text line lights up. I ask Gamecock fans, what's a record of success for you this year for Shane Beamer? And all of a sudden, I got crickets in my eardrums.
It's a wait and see mode. I mean, it just is. Transition of quarterbacks. There's just so many things that you have to wait and see about.
I think you've waited. You're going on year four. It's not a rookie head coach. It's not a second year head coach. I think you have waited. Now I'm ready to see. What do we want to see? We'll talk more about this later on in the show. Now, a gentleman that you have all been waiting for, Lonzo with the Sports Flash.
Nominated for 3 Star Awards. Just want to point that out. The College World Series will play a deciding game 3 tonight after Tennessee and Texas A&M split the first 2 matchups this weekend. The Aggies took the opener 9-5 after putting up 7 runs in the first 3 innings. The Vols took game 2 after trailing the entire game until the 7th inning when they had a couple of homers.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1. Or track pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, would you look at that? It's off season, and you know, off season is prime hashtag sources season. It is a point in time where radio show hosts and bloggers and sports writers nationwide make up stories and then say they got it from hashtag sources. Now, that's not to say that every journalist who says sources is lying. In fact, very frequently they're not.
Yeah, some sources might be real. I mean, are real.
As a former member of the, let's say, journalistic side of the media, specifically as one who covered local news as a television news reporter. Good evening and welcome to the Channel 3 10 o'clock news. I'm Rob Brown.
Did you ever have to cover hurricanes?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. You were Jim Cantore, were you? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Stood on the beach. Now, we never, when I was there, because I was only there 2 years as a TV reporter, never got a, like, full-fledged, yo, this hurricane. But the had a couple of tropical storms. I think one Cat 1, and they're like, "Hey Rob, why don't you and Daniel was my cameraman for a couple of years? Why don't you and Dan pop in the Subaru Forester that served as the news wagon, take it on down to the beach, and get us some live shots?" And the answer would be, "Because it's hurricaning outside, boss."
So did you get any sideways rain and debris?
No, like ordinarily they would, one of the things that you will see, and this is not true of everybody, but for most of the time with the local news, because especially with a place like where I'm from, Pensacola, we're catching a cane a year, right? Like we're catching a cane a year. We know the spots that are the least dangerous to go shoot lives from, and we'll just keep going back. So there was one spot on Okaloosa Island, which is where it's a long stretch of road between Destin and Fort Walton Beach. I grew up in Fort Walton Beach. Destin, obviously, is the area most of you guys would know about. Okaloosa Island is a long highway that runs on a barrier island between those two, and there's nothing on it. It's road, and then it's sand, and then it's water on both sides. There's nothing there. So we would go do our lives there, because the likelihood of something flying up out of the ground and, you know, clobbering you in the dome was very low. But, yeah, they sent us out. The worst one of the TV news career was we had a freezing rain event one winter. It was like 23, 22 degrees outside. And you may not know this about Rob Brown, I despise the cold. Despise the cold. Okay? Despise. I hate cold. I hate cold.
I bet I hate it more than you do, but still, it's one thing that we actually have in common.
Hate the cold. And so we had a freezing rain event overnight. I was working the afternoon or the night shift, which meant that I was in the studio at 5 in the afternoon, and I was there until 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning until the morning shift reporter would come in. And if anything broke overnight, it was my job to go cover it. Which was nice because very rarely did anything break that I had to leave the studio for. But when it did, you were in it. So they sent me out to the corner of Highway 98 and in the freezing rain to do live shots. Which means that over the course of the 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news, 7 o'clock news, and 10 o'clock news, I had to sit on the corner in a Subaru Forester with nary but my cell phone to entertain me. And whenever the anchors would go, "Yeah, let's go back out to Rob," Dan and I had to get out of the car, go stand in the freezing rain, and give a live shot. It was so cold that night when we finished our last shot. We went back to the studio. And the studio was like a mini apartment for us. You kind of lived out of it overnight when you were working night shift. So we all had changes of clothes, and we all had food, and we all had bottles of water. Like if anything went down, we could bunk out of the news studio for a couple of days. It was a satellite branch. So we went back, and I was going to change out of my jeans that I had been reporting in into a fresh pair of jeans. And it was so cold that even with the car ride back, by the time I got back, to take the jeans off, I didn't, like, pull them off. I had to push them off because they were frozen solid. I could take said jeans, great one, lean them against the wall and stand them up, and they would stand up as if a ghost was wearing them because they were frozen solid. That was the night. I think I had like 2.5 weeks left on my contract. That was the night that I went, nah, I'll go back to radio. I'm going back to radio.
Yeah, that was a normal thing for me the first half of my life. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about that anymore.
I'd move. I would throw everything I own into a knapsack that I carry on the end of a stick, and I would walk the railroads to the South if that was a reality I had to deal with. All right, sports. Sources, that's where we started this left-hand turn of a segment. What are you going to do? South Carolina entering their fourth year with Shane Beamer as the head coach. Last year, 5-7 a little bit. I think it's fair to say it was a bit of a deflating season after the excitement of the 2022 final with the wins over Tennessee and Clemson, right? And you turn around last year, it feels like you give it all back. Well, Griffin McVay, who writes for On3 Sports.
That's not his name.
That's his name. Okay. Griffin McVay.
That's a really cool name. I mean,
that's a good name. It's a baseball name.
Congrats, Griffin.
Griffin McVay said in an article on On3 Sports that, quote, one opposing coach even believes South Carolina is, quote, dead in the water with Shane Beamer. The coach claims Beamer was never ready to be the head coach after being hired from Oklahoma as the assistant head coach and tight ends coach. The coach said, quote, I think Shane Beamer is on the hot seat. He had some issues with the portal and NIL. I don't think Cocky is very happy right now. Apparently, according to Griffin McVay, Cocky is what the SEC coaches have nicknamed Shane Beamer. Shane Beamer's first head coaching job was at South Carolina. Beamer wasn't ready for that. You can tell by the way he handles his press conferences. He's had a few big wins, yes, but I see that program dead in the water, end quote. I find a couple of things interesting about this. So interesting, in fact, that I said I had to say I find it interesting four times in a row right there. Number one, he said in there that, quote, he's had some issues with the portal and NIL. Now, I have a little bit of contact with the Garnet Trust. Not as much as a lot of folks do. I should probably work on that. Stream of consciousness radio here. But from what I can tell, it's fine. It's fine. It's good. It's on par with other collectives around the country.
I'm excited to see what Lenore's Sellers can do. And I mean, I'm excited about the team this year.
The other thing he mentioned is that he had problems with the portal. South Carolina has more than 20 incoming transfer portal players this year. Now, that's not to say that every one of them is super highly touted, that every one of them had to pick between Georgia and South Carolina. There are a lot of folks that are good enough to be above D2 ball, but not necessarily getting a billion offers from Michigan and Georgia and Alabama, etc. But you got 20 plus coming in. I have a problem saying that this program is dead in the water. What I do not have a problem saying here, however, what I do not have a problem saying is that I do think it is a prove-it year for Shane Beamer, and I don't think that it is going against the grain. I do not think that you are a bad Gamecock if you say the same. I do not think that you are a bad Gamecock fan if you say the same, if you say, I'm looking for more. It is not a bad thing to say, I am looking for something else. I am looking for stability. I am looking for reliability. I am looking for consistency. We have talked about the fact that, believe it or not, some people won't go for this. Alonzo's one of them. South Carolina has, on paper and statistically, one of the most difficult schedules in college football this year. And considering the SEC for now.
And next year. And the year after that, and the year after that, and the year till eternity.
Lonzo, whose schedule is more difficult? A team playing out of the NFC South this year, or a team that is playing out of the AFC North this year?
You know who else has a really
You'll
difficult schedule?
You'll notice he wouldn't pick a side.
Vanderbilt. You know who else has a really, really hard schedule? Tennessee. You know who else has a really hard schedule? Every SEC team.
Mm-hmm. And every one of those teams between the NFC South and the AFC North all play in the NFL. Who's got the tougher schedule division to division? The AFC North does. It's not a question mark, it's a statement.
You are singling South Carolina out and making it sound like they have a harder schedule than anybody else in the SEC.
Did I, or did I say they have one of the hardest? Not the hardest, not no one else has it.
I don't know. I only listen to every other word you say.
That checks out. Most people do. It's probably the right way to handle your business with me. I understand entirely, but the point is they have one of the most difficult schedules in college football, and it is important. And because of the fact that we have done away with divisions, and because of the fact that the SEC has decided that they are going to go with some of the teams some year, repeat it the next year, the other teams the year after that, repeat it the next year, it is also going to be one of the most difficult schedules in the country next year as well, unless stuff goes haywire. And then maybe you'll get a little bit of respite in 2026. But if there is not consistency, if there is not reliability within this team this year, Shano might not be there in 2026 when the schedule hopefully throttles down a little bit.
What are the expectations for South Carolina?
I have asked Gamecock fans that repeatedly this offseason, and very few of them have had the courage to tell me.
What do you believe the expectations of the people in charge of someone's job are?
Bowl eligibility.
There you
go. 6-6.
I mean,
now, here's the problem. It's been that way for three seasons so far. Right? At some point, the expectations have to elevate above 6-6. At some point, making the Pinstripe Bowl ain't going to get it.
Agreed, but I think historically, that's what it's been. There have been, at least in recent memory, Spurrier is like the only guy who had them relevant in a way where winning the East was a possibility and competing for the SEC championship.
Correct, but you don't hire a guy to match history. You hire a guy to make history, right? And I don't care what the job is.
That's absolutely right. But much like Brad Brownell and in Clemson, you know what the normal is, and it seems like people are okay with the normal. I don't know why he's on the hot seat.
He's on the hot seat because he went 5-7.
I mean, that's not good.
It's on the hot seat in his third year, right?
It's not good.
Now, and let's add one more caveat to the discussion. I've brought this up before.
So if he had won one more last year and been bowl eligible, he wouldn't be on the hot seat.
I don't know that that is true or not. I don't know.
You just said that you believe that bowl eligibility is.
This year, coming off of 5-17, I think
it would have been the same last year too, right?
Correct. It would have been the same record, but it also would have been the same record as a lot of other teams that are not happy with that position. And again, going into year four, right? Because in the before days, in the yesteryears, when you looked at a team, Snoop's first pitch. We got to see Snoop's first pitch. Tell me it's at least. Hey, I'll take it. It's over the dish.
Yeah, that was a toss. It was not a throw.
50 Cent put it 90 feet to the left.
Yeah, because
he threw a strike over first base. That's a good first pitch.
Would you rather see someone like they're tossing a ball with their kid, or someone trying to bring the heat?
I would rather see someone get it over the dish than launch it nine rows into the stands.
When you threw out the first pitch, if you threw a pitch like that, I'm leaving. I mean, I'm not hanging around for anything. I'm leaving because I'm embarrassed.
Right, but I'm a baseball player. I'm not a 56-year-old rapper who never played baseball.
Yeah, but he's built.
He got it over the dish.
He's built like a guy who can.
You and
bring
I
it.
Have seen some tremendously awful first pitches as of late. All right, back to the thought, because we're right up on the break. The thought for me with Shane Beamer in the yesteryears, when a new coach would come in, the traditional thinking was you give the guy three seasons. You give him three seasons. That is long enough to filter out the majority of the last guy's team, the majority of the last guy's recruits, the majority of the last guy's selections, and get in your own guys, that is enough time to put your system of recruiting, your offensive and defensive schemes, to allow your assistant coaching selections to familiarize themselves, to build a culture. You got three, and after three, if you're 5-7, you're gone. You're done, you're cooked, unless that school just accepts mediocrity. And I do not think that South Carolina fans are in a position where they want to just sit back and go, well, at least we've got women's basketball, right? You want to be good. Here's the thing. I don't think that three-year rule applies anymore. And I've said this in the past. I've said it about Deion Sanders. Deion did not get a grace period for me at Colorado. I expected results out of the gate. Why? Because Deion sent 31 guys out and brought 30-plus guys in. That's your team now. It is not a situation where I'm going to give you 3 or 4 years to cycle out a class full of recruits. It is now, especially if you do it like Deion. Shane's got 20-plus transfer portal players coming in. It's your team. It's your roster. I expect success and results. And my question is, I've asked it before. I've gotten very few answers. And I've asked both Clemson and South Carolina fans, what is your definition of success, so that we can put it on a marker and circle back at the end of the season? And I have gotten very little feedback. You say the word glizzy on the air, the text line lights up. I ask Gamecock fans, what's a record of success for you this year for Shane Beamer? And all of a sudden, I got crickets in my eardrums.
It's a wait-and-see mode. I mean, it just is. Transition of quarterbacks. There's just so many things that you have to wait and see about.
I think you've waited. You're going on year four. It's not a rookie head coach. It's not a second-year head coach. I think you have waited. Now I'm ready to see. What do we want to see? We'll talk more about this later on in the show. Now, a gentleman that you have all been waiting for, Lonzo with the Sports Flash.
Nominated for 3 Star Awards. Just want to point that out. The College World Series will play a deciding game 3 tonight after Tennessee and Texas A&M split the first 2 matchups this weekend. The Aggies took the opener 9-5 after putting up 7 runs in the first 3 innings. The Vols took game 2 after trailing the entire game until the 7th inning when they had a couple of homers that gave them the lead. Tonight's winner will claim the national championship. The Atlanta Braves took a series win out of the Bronx with a 3-1 win over the Yankees yesterday. Jared Kelenic had another big day with a 2-out home run in the third that gave Atlanta a lead they would not relinquish. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debates, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.